The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Very excited about this one. Taping this on a Monday night. We are running it, I think, Wednesday. It is our annual over-under NBA podcast with my buddy Joe House. What's happening?
Hey now.
We're doing this live in Los Angeles in the BS Report studio, and we're taping this for some unknown reason. I don't know why we'd ever show it.
For my parents.
For your parents and for our kids. My kids like seeing me on YouTube. All right, so we have a problem this year with the shortened season. There are no NBA over-unders.
That's
Vegas
right.
has decided not to do them, and I think wisely so, because the schedule is a mess, because it's only 66 games, because everybody's not signed yet.
Right.
Like Aaron Aflalo.
Who knows who's on what teams?
Sam Dallenberg could end up on Miami for like $1 million and all of a sudden be a center for them. Like, who knows?
Well, right. And even to this moment, today...
Yeah.
Guys like Biombo, who looks like maybe he can come in.
Bismack Biombo. I'm glad you worked him into the podcast this early. Thank you.
It's never too early to get the Bismack on the mark.
Biombo.
Dallenberg, maybe he stays in Sacramento now.
How about the China guys?
The China
Wilson
guys?
Wilson Chandler, Kenyon Martin, Aaron Brooks?
Who knows? So I saw one publication that put out numbers, but they were preposterous. They put out numbers on December the 9th, and it was ridiculous. It wasn't even worth it.
Here's what we're doing. We're going to do closest to the pin this year. We're not happy about it. We loved over-unders. We're good at the over-unders. Last year, we were 4-1 on our locks. I think we were 66% for correct versus incorrect, and
we barely lost
a couple.
Yeah, give or take.
The year before, I think we were 20-9.
We had a good year the year before.
Yeah, we've been pretty good at this.
We've been pretty good.
Closest to the pin, here's how this is going to work. We're going to say a team. One person gets the first pick, the other person gets the second pick for the wins, and whoever gets the closest at the end of the year wins. We basically have to go head-to-head, and we'll also have one of our interns calculate our closest to the win percentage and all that stupid stuff. Let's see. So I looked up. The last time we had a shortened season was 1999. 50 games that year, compressed like this one was. This one is 66, which is longer, but I thought maybe we could learn at least something from that season. Now, this is interesting. The best record in 99, San Antonio and Utah both were 37-13. That's a 740 winning percentage. That seems like a lot.
Pretty good.
It's not really that good. 740 winning percentage would be about 60 wins in real life.
Which was what? The best team, Chicago had 60 last year?
Chicago had 62 last year.
62, okay.
Portland was 35-50, and that was a 700 winning percentage. And then a lot of people were really around 500, like within 5-6 games either way. The Clippers were 9-41.
Oh, gosh.
A 180 winning percentage.
Oh, boy.
And then Vancouver was 8-42, 160 winning percentage.
Ooh.
So if you're thinking about this, you know, if somebody wins 60 wins in the NBA, that's good. You'd be like, oh, 60-win season.
Good season.
Now, 66-game season. 60 wins would be about 48-18.
Interesting.
That's a 60-win season.
That's a number on here.
Right. So your natural reaction would be like, oh, yeah, somebody's definitely going to win 50 games. 50 games, if somebody goes 50 games, that's a 758 winning percentage. That's better than anybody did last year. Chicago is 756. So that would a 50-16 season would translate to 63 wins.
63. When was the last time somebody had 63?
It's happened.
It's not unprecedented.
Right.
I think
it's hard.
It happens a couple times. It's hard. That's
hard
right.
thing to do. For somebody to go 53-13, it's an 803 winning percentage. That would translate to a 67 win season.
I'm not. There's nobody on here that I have lined up that way.
Because if you just told me, like, could somebody go 53-13, I would have been like, yeah, why not? And then you look at the numbers and it's like, oh, yeah, no. So now also you have the back-to-back-to-backs.
That's
you have four games in 5 nights. You have 7 games in 9 nights. I think the better teams are going to have to throw games away. Like, you're just not going to be able to play LeBron four games in five nights, 43 minutes a game.
There's just no upside to it. The regular season has been marginalized by trying to get all these games in. And I look, you know, I want them to play 66. I wish they could have figured out a way to do the 72 or whatever they were sort of poised to get at in the middle of November. No, not now. But
so a couple benchmarks to remember. If we pick somebody to go 40-26,
yes,
that translates to 49 wins with an 82 game schedule. If we pick somebody to go 30-36, that translates to 37 wins with an elongated schedule. So, and also I figured this out. If we pick someone to go 33-33,
yes,
that means we pick them to go 41-41 with a normal schedule.
That is so smart.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why you're the sports guy.
Thank you. So we're going to do this snake fashion.
Yep.
We'll do alphabetical order, so there's no advantage. We won't do it snake fashion, actually. You get first pick for the first team, and I get the backup pick. Then I get the first pick for the second team. You get the second pick.
What's it mean? What do you mean first pick, backup pick? What are you talking about?
Pick a conference.
Oh, East I have my West. Teams organized alphabetically. I can figure it out.
Pick a conference, East or West?
East.
Okay, you have the first pick, Atlanta. You get to go first with your win total.
And are you going to also offer a win total on Atlanta?
Yes, you have first pick.
Me?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
You could either think of it as you're peeing on the best win total, or I might think you went low and I might just go one over you and try to do the prices right on you.
I see. Okay, that's
but
the
then
game.
You can get it back right. with me in the next one, yeah.
You know
I'm sorry I had to explain closest to the pin with you. It's only been the Price is Right staple for 40 years.
I've been playing closest to the pin. I've been playing golf for all these years now.
Come on,
this is the 30th trip out to California. Yeah. Every time I come and say we're going to play golf,
time. It's cold.
Yeah, it's 60 degrees. It's cold.
Yeah.
All right, I understand. Closest to the pin, Atlanta.
The Atlanta Hawks. Big addition this year was Tracy McGrady.
This is a
big
team
subtraction was Jamal Crawford.
That you will see here. I have not one, not two, but three scratches next to it because I had a hard time figuring them out.
Yeah.
I am predicting for the Atlanta Hawks 35-31. That's my record
interesting.
For the Atlanta Hawks.
I went 34-32.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Them. Well, yeah. We'll see who's closest to the pin.
Well, I mean,
somebody's going to win that one.
Right out of the box, we're within a game of one another.
Well, I think they're a 7 seed.
Maybe, well,
a 7 or an 8. They're somewhere in there. If the Celtics can't pass Atlanta this year, then somebody will have gotten hurt.
I think that 35-31 record in the East is going to be good enough for like a 5 slot, maybe even.
I disagree, but we're going to go into that later.
Good.
All right. So you 34 versus 35.
Oh, I think I understand why you disagree, and I might agree with you. But this is going
to
be fun.
All right, so we have to switch conferences for this one.
Okay.
Oh no, actually we don't. We'll go two in the East, then two in the West, two in the East, two in the West.
Whatever floats your boat.
So now up the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, your boys.
My
you
boys.
Have the inside scoop.
I'm very, very concerned about this season. We probably didn't talk enough about Atlanta. I just feel like they're the same team they were last year, and they switched Jamal Crawford for Tracy McGrady.
That was the one sort of...
They're not as good.
...item to call to anyone's attention. It could be a year Jeff Teague comes up.
Jeff Teague could.
I mean, he really showed something in the playoffs, so that could be a neat story for them.
Or he just played well for a couple games, and he's not that good.
Yeah, Heinrich is hurt, and they just brought somebody in.
They got a terrible Joe Johnson season last year, and maybe he'll be all motivated, you know, in better shape, all that BS. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Yeah.
It's hard. I don't know. It's just the team leaves me a little bit cold.
I also think
that's a team that could potentially, if it goes south a little bit, panic trade.
Oh, interesting.
The old Josh Smith panic trade. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
He's an asset.
Yeah.
They ought to be able to get something for him.
You know, like, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves offer Michael Beasley and Wesley Johnson for Josh Smith.
How does that help Atlanta?
I don't know.
All right. Let's go on to Boston.
All right.
That's too much Atlanta.
It's a lot of Atlanta.
Who cares about Atlanta?
The Atlanta fans are fired up. That was a ton of Atlanta.
All 10 Atlanta fans.
All right. Celtics. I'm very concerned. The fifth best player in this team is Brandon Bass. The sixth best player in this team is Jermaine O'Neal. The seventh best player in this team is probably Keon Dooling. The Jeff Green thing really hurt, and it's tough to get too bummed out because the guy's going to have open heart surgery and some things are more important than sports. With that said, looking at this objectively as a basketball thing, that was a huge injury because shortened season, old team, and he was going to play 30 minutes a game, and he was Pierce backup, he was the Allen backup, he was going to do a ton of stuff.
Well, how about this? He didn't look that great last year.
Yeah, but
that's,
you know,
a lot of pressure on a guy who didn't look like it was going to be that good of a fit.
Well,
with
but
his Boston team.
Traded midseason. He's
I understand both
the
sides.
The fans are mad
argument.
About the trade. Like, I do think with a full season, he would have been better.
Okay.
You know,
I'm open to that line of argument. I'm just saying there were a lot of roles contemplated for him. It's a pretty interesting thing that the Celtics season really comes down to the Jeff Green proposition.
Well, I'm not talking about the playoffs. I'm saying for regular season. Oh, also, I forgot Chris Wilcox is like really involved in this season, though.
Yes, he is.
He had a cup of coffee with the Wizards, didn't he?
I don't know.
You don't remember? No, I don't think he did, actually.
No,
I'm remembering that wrong.
He went to Maryland.
Pistons.
So
Oh, that's what he... We all followed him in Maryland.
He won the national title in Maryland.
Here's what I'm thinking with the Celts. I think that in a conventional year with rest and stuff...
Yes.
It's a team that would go like 53-29.
Sure.
Which would put them by our little abacus, whatever I created here...
Yes.
Would make them a 42-win team. I think they're going to throw away 5 wins because... Doc is smart. He knows that they need to just get the 6th seed. Just avoid Chicago, Miami in round 1. 6th seed, that's it. You play New York or Indiana or whoever.
Right.
So you can throw away 5 games. So they have, in April, I think they play 12 games in 20 days or something.
Oh, gosh.
Or 12 games in 17 days, some crazy thing. They have back-to-back-to-back. They have 7 games in 9 nights. I don't even think they send the veterans to some of those games. I just think they just say, you know what, we're just going to be happy winning 37. So that's my pick, 37-29.
Okay, good. I had a number that was higher than 37, mm-hmm. but I've been persuaded.
You can't change your pick.
What do you mean?
Well, how do you change your pick?
That's the whole point of going back and forth here.
Oh, that's not fair.
One guy goes first. Describe closest to the pin.
Jacoby.
We're playing closest to the pin.
Jacoby, can he change his pick?
You just detailed how he should change his pick.
All right, that's fine.
And then when he did it, you got upset.
The all voice right. of reason.
Buck passer.
The Jacobs.
I just buck passed.
Yeah, what else is new? I'm still going to go higher than your number.
Okay.
What's your
number?
I'm just not going to say 41, which is what I originally contemplated. I'm now going to say 39.
39
for the Boston Celtics.
Interesting. You're probably going to win that one. The other thing with the Celts is that if Pierce or Allen gets hurt, it's like a major issue.
Well, what can
if KG gets hurt? Now you have Brandon Bass and Chris Wilcox and Jermaine O'Neal. Basically, they're the rebounder shot blockers for the team.
Their problem is the cap, isn't it? They're so hamstrung cap wise, money wise.
Oh, they're at $77 million after Jeff Green got voided.
So they just don't
and they have
no
exceptions left.
No flexibility whatsoever to acquire any of the guys still out there. None of the China guys.
No.
And really,
they can only get it for the minimum.
And trade wise, Rajon Rondo is really the only asset that other teams would be interested in.
And he has no real market because people seem to think that he's not a great guy.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. He's a great basketball player.
I love him.
I
get mad every time they try to trade him. It's like, why do you want to trade this guy? He's the best player in the team, and I like watching him play basketball. So, all right. Well,
yeah.
We'll see who wins that one. Next team. And for the record, I'm fine with 37 wins and a 6 seed. Just get to the playoffs.
Sure.
Just avoid Miami and Chicago in round 1 and... That's it.
That's
Take
a
it.
Very reasonable goal.
Very happy.
The goal here is the playoffs.
Goals here are the playoffs. Playoffs? all right, we're going to do the Western Conference for 2 teams. You're up with the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm up with the Dallas Mavericks. I read a great story today right out of the box. Sean Marion, we are the defending champions, and we are not getting enough respect.
Ooh, a little nobody believes in us.
Nobody believes in us. Mm. They haven't played a game. There's just been the preseason, but I guess Sean's been reading the blogs, what's going on the internet and the interwebs. Not enough love for Dallas.
You know,
I kind of understand his point of view.
Should we do Eastern Conference and then Western Conference?
I didn't understand what you were trying to do with 2 and 2 and all that. Why don't we just do Eastern Conference?
Let's
Western
do Eastern Conference. We'll come back to Dallas. All right, you're up then. Then we can split it up into 2 parts and 2 parts east.
That makes it easy. One it's part
kinda,
east, one part west.
It's kind of know Jacoby would have given me if he cared. Charlotte. Charlotte is next.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to discuss Charlotte. Let's try to make this as quick as possible.
Do I have to go first?
You have to go first. Just for the record, I just want to make sure you know this. Charlotte traded a 2013 second-round pick today for B.J. Mullins. So I don't know if that affects your over-under at all.
Am I going to get in trouble if I say I don't know who B.J. Mullins is?
No.
Okay, good.
He's the big white guy.
Oh.
I think he's white. He's
That's
in
great.
Oklahoma City.
Here we are.
Yeah, he's a white guy.
Yeah,
tall
okay.
white guy.
I like my number for the Charlotte Bobcats, 23-43.
Oh. Interesting. I'm going a lot lower.
Oh.
I'm shorting the East.
That's reasonable.
My issue with the East, with Charlotte, two things. One is that their center is Boris Diaw.
Yes.
Two is that the best things I've read about Charlotte in the preseason are that they're really, really happy with Corey Maggette, and he's taken on a big leadership role. I don't think there's a bigger career loser than Corey Maggette. Just year after year, he's in lottery teams. So I'm going with 20 wins for them. And to be honest, why would they even want to make the playoffs? Like, they should be trying to bottom out, and this is an awesome draft next year. I would, if I were running the Bobcats, my goal would be to stink.
Yeah, anything in the low 20s ought to be bad enough almost. Maybe
you
not
think.
Though. You probably need to win in the teens to really crack the top 8.
We'll talk about
draft.
This, but I think 5 of the 7 worst teams are in the East.
I think
which is interesting because
yes.
it's a little bit of an imbalanced schedule and you play your own conference more. So, I don't know how that's going to work with the records. It'll actually, like, usually you could say, oh, the West will beat the East more times than they play, but there's not quite as many games this year.
Yeah.
All right. Cleveland Cavaliers are next. And I made a pick, but I probably went too low, so I'm going to bump it up. I think they're going to be terrible.
Yes.
I don't think Irving's going to be that good as a rookie. I mean, he has also potential to not be good, and then everybody will talk about how he's not good, and it spirals, and then he loses confidence. Like, that could go in a bad direction.
I think he's going to be fine.
I think he'll be fine.
He's not going to fit anybody's perception of what a number one overall looks like.
Will he be better than Darren Collison this year? No.
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Will he be better than... I'm trying to...
Darren Collison is good.
Kyle Lowry.
I think he's going to be comparable to Kyle Lowry. That's what I would say.
I think Kyle Lowry is better.
They're different styles of play altogether. I mean, yeah. Different kind of player.
I'm just saying from, like... I don't think he'll be one of the... I think he'll be one of the 5 worst starting point guards in the league if he starts.
5 worst?
Yeah.
No, look at this list. DJ Augustine is the starting point guard.
Well, there's
sure.
another one of the 5. You just listed 2.
Will Bynum. Will Bynum starts for Detroit at point
there's
guard.
There's another one. And Toronto's point guard is also whoever they
You don't like Jose Calderon?
No. You know what else? That gives me something in common with everybody else who watches basketball.
He's an efficient offensive player.
You love him because of his international play.
Yes.
But unfortunately...
Olé!
In the NBA, not as good. I'm going to say... Oh, for
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Cleveland Cavaliers, a.k.a. the Washington Generals. I'm going to say 11-55 for them.
Wow!
Yeah, oh yeah, 11-55.
I just don't think they're that bad.
Why?
Because they have...
Why do you like Varejao so much? Varejao hasn't had a good moment in like 3 years.
It's not that I like him so much, but he's...
He's wasted on this team.
He is wasted on this team. I concur with that as well. But he's demonstrated the capacity for some success in the professional basketball game. I mean,
they're going to stink.
No argument. You're not going to hear an argument out of me that suggests that they're going to do anything other than stink. But when I look at some of the other stinkers in here, I don't think they're the stinkiest. I'm going to have them.
Okay, go.
At 15-51.
Yeah, I'm going to win that one.
I just don't think you are.
Who is the guy, Tristan Thompson? That was their number 4 pick?
Yes, the Texas kid.
Yeah, that wasn't a good pick.
It wasn't a great draft.
I would have taken the kid Toronto took and just waited a year for him.
I mean, if anybody could wait, it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense, especially with the money that's coming off their books
I think they're
at the
gonna
end
stink.
Of this year.
I think they're going to buy out Jameson in February. And if they were smart, they should trade Varejao and really try to get something for him. I would try. Here's the trade. Tell me if you like this trade. You know I like to make up fake trades.
I'm listening.
Eric Bledsoe. Ryan Gomes' contract expiring, and like a future protected number one for Varejao.
The reason I don't think that, I like sort of where you're going here. I like where your head's at. You can't bring Eric Bledsoe into a mix where you just drafted with the number one overall draft pick, Irving.
Good point. Well, but he can be a shooting guard, though. I don't think...
Who, Eric Bledsoe?
The funny thing with Eric Bledsoe is people talk about him like he's a point guard. I don't know what he is, but he's not... Even if he's a point guard, it's not going to be a traditional point guard.
Could he catch the ball on the wing?
I think he's a shooting guard.
He's
I think
super fast.
Or he's like a combo guard or something.
So you want him...
But anyway, something like that. Like, I think Varejao... However it works out, maybe Bledsoe goes to another team, the Clips get the pick, or the Cavs get the pick, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you had Varejao as the backup for DeAndre and Blake, ooh, and he just floats back and forth,
no,
and that's
true.
Like, I mean, that now all of a sudden the Clips are a legit title contender, not a fake one, because they're one big guy short, and defensively, I'm really worried about them if DeAndre gets in foul trouble, which is going to be often.
And you, as not necessarily a Clippers fan, but
season ticket owner,
wanting
yes.
to watch that team, you would like very much to have that kind of security.
They need the defense first team glue guy who
yeah.
can come in, who can play crunch time sometimes, who's insurance for DeAndre, all that stuff. And I've been staring at Varejao. The other team that needs him is Memphis.
Yeah, so I was looking, I just mentally, as we were talking, went through what is Memphis's cap situation at the moment?
They're over, but I think they have their full mid-level.
They have the full mid-level.
But they could do... It's probably too much for Varejao, but you could talk me into an O.J. Mayo, Varejao, like those two guys as the principals type trade.
What happened with O.J. Mayo?
They kept him. They didn't trade him.
But he was heavily involved in another round
they
of trade
said,
discussion.
It okay. might have been those,
it wasn't
those
serious.
Weird internet things
okay.
where
all right.
some blogger says something and then all of a sudden it's a real story.
I don't see what's wrong with keeping O.J. Mayo in Memphis,
by
the way.
I would be trying. If I was a GM, I'd be trying to trade for him every day.
I think he's
on Chris Wallace every day trying to get him.
Memphis, you know, it provides a certain security to have him.
Yeah. Varejao on Memphis. Now you have Gasol, Zebo, and Varejao, and those are your 4-5. That's it. You don't need anybody else because they lost Darrell Arthur, which was
Achilles,
a really big
right?
loss. Yeah,
well,
he came on as a bench guy last year. I thought he was
like kind of an instant offense.
We'll talk about them in a second.
Yeah.
So I have 11 wins for Cleveland. You have 15.
Yes.
And now we're going to go. You're up. The Chicago Bulls, a tough one.
The Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Bulls.
Why are they tough?
Because now we're getting into the high 40s.
Yeah, I like them at 47 and 19.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change my pick. I initially had them at 49, but now I'm going to say 48. I'm going to try to just go one up on you there. I'm going to win that one. You're losing that.
I'm willing to lose that. I looking at it now, I think I underbid.
Well, it's not my fault.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
The Bulls, let's talk about them quickly.
Sure.
I thought the Rip Hamilton thing, I was really hoping it would happen as a basketball fan. I was hoping it wouldn't happen as a Celtics fan. I really think that I just think he's going to be really good for them if he has anything left in the tank.
I think he does have something left in the tank. I think he's going to be really good for them.
Really
I think
good
he's
for
taken
them.
The past two seasons essentially off.
Yeah, I think
like
he has to.
The miles that you would normally sort of take on.
Do you totally blame him either?
No.
They screwed him with the team they built. I know he's getting paid and all that, but I just think mentally he was checked out. And, you know, he's one of those guys that needs a real point guard.
Not just a real point guard, but they disassembled that team in
an
awkward and haphazard manner.
Right.
There was no kind of clear path, even to the moment. You know, we're going to get to them here in a heartbeat.
Right.
What are they doing there?
I don't know.
And what was the role they had in mind for him?
Just think about his game, though. All he does is he runs off screens. He runs off double picks.
It's a game I love.
He needs a point guard who not only can get him the ball, but knows... This is the thing that people don't understand with point guards, not to sound like a point guard snob, but it's not just about passing the guy when he's coming up the pick. You
right.
get it to him at the perfect spot
right.
on the right side of his body, mid-level, so he can shoot in one motion.
Yeah.
Like, there's all stuff that goes with that position. And he was playing the last 2 years with Rodney Stuckey and Will Bynum. And that's going to hurt his game on a bad team.
Not just gonna, but did.
Right. And, you know, maybe Derrick Rose isn't a traditional run-the-show Chris Paul type point guard. But it's still a much better situation than he had. And he's also got, he's going to have Noah setting him picks and Boozer and Omar Asich and Taj Gibson.
I think
it's a great situation for him.
If he is an off the bench guy, who's the point guard that's coming off the bench? Is it still Watson?
What are you talking about?
In Chicago, who backs up D Rose?
Yeah, C.J. Watson.
So, you know, if Rip. Is Rip going to be a part of that second squad?
No, I think he's a starter.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, that role they'll figure
he's
out.
He's a good three-point shooter. He had a couple plus 40-plus three-point years.
One of the knocks on Chicago last year, I think, was that second unit was put in to tread water. It was put in to keep the score kind of even. And I could see where it would make sense to have Rip associated with those guys to
help
some of that.
They'd run the whole second unit around him?
Maybe. But
I
then
thought
that
was
means
a good signing.
That it really puts a premium on the chemistry between him and Watson.
Yeah. Well, the other thing they have going, they're going to get a better Boozer year. And people,
they're going to get a
there's
better
too
Boozer
much
year.
Of a Boozer backlash because that guy's a good basketball player. And he sucked last year. He's out of shape. He broke his thumb. New team. He got blamed for stuff.
I just think
he's
going to
be much better. Yeah, I think I'm going to win it too.
And it's good. I don't mind.
But the problem is, so I picked him for 48, which translates to... I still picked them to win 60 games. I mean, it's not like that's low. And plus,
they did what they do with
schedule and all that stuff.
They can't do what they did last year.
I think winning 48 is an achievement in this particular season. Next team. Also, well, we'll talk about it when we get to Miami. But that's going to be a big. The Chicago Miami thing is going to be big.
How many times do they
play? You want
play?
That? Chicago wants that game 7.
Do we know how many times they play? Is it just once?
I think 3.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a couple of three teams.
Okay. Good.
All right, let's hit Detroit quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Detroit's a mess.
You go first.
I just want to say, I made fun of the Tayshaun Prince, Jonas Jerebko, $46 million for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I don't want people to think that I don't like Jerebko because I really liked him. He was like one of my big sleepers for this free agent year. I just don't think anybody should pay him $4 million a year. That's absurd.
Right. Based on
what? What has he done? He has potential, but
he had a year and a half of a good season.
But then they have Prince,
broke his leg.
They have Austin Day. They have Charlie Villanueva.
It's still a super weird team.
And they have Ben Gordon.
And they
re-signed Stuckey. They have Bynum. They have Brandon Knight.
So weird.
And they have Monroe, who I really like.
Monroe's great.
Monroe's good. It's a weird team, though. It's like a fantasy team.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing with that team.
Why don't you tell us what you think they're going to do, what kind of success they're going to have
this year. I should probably tell you that, huh? I think they're going to be a little better than people think because of the depth thing. So I'm going to say 29 wins for them.
Wow.
29 and 37.
Well, good. That makes up for... Jacoby's laughing from the other room. We can hear it. Oh, my gracious.
Yeah?
You know, look, I'm prepared to give this Detroit team the tip of a cap. They're heading in the right direction. And I think Lawrence Frank is worth, you know, kind of 8 to 10 wins over the space of...
What's your pick?
...of an 82 game. I'm going to say 23 and 43.
Okay. Here's my explanation for this.
29!
A couple reasons. They're deep. And again, I think you need depth this year. I think that wins them a couple cheap games.
They're stinky deep, though.
They go 10 deep. Listen, Austin Day would be the sixth best Celtic right now. We have Juwan Johnson getting the minutes that Austin Day is going to get.
I'm going to bring Austin Day out eating with me, by the way.
I just think that if you're playing only Eastern teams... They get to play Charlotte, New Jersey, Washington, Toronto, Cleveland. They get some Milwaukee. They get some Philly. They might get Boston.
Are they really that much better than any of those teams?
29 and 37 just means that in an 82-game season, I would have picked them to go 36 and 46.
Seems a little strong, considering they won 30 last year.
I like Lawrence Frank.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, I gave a tip of the cap.
Their coach last year, they tried to get fired.
I know, that's true.
They tried to fire the guy. They won 30 games
with the guy that they were trying to get.
They had a mutiny.
All right. Okay, it's fine. I'm sticking with my 23. I'm good with it.
Okay. This will be interesting. The Pacers of Indiana.
Yeah, the Pacers of Indiana. I go first, right?
You go first. And just for the record, I think the fact that Paul George grew to 6'10" is my favorite stat of the year so far.
How old
I love
is he?
When people still grow.
That's what I mean.
He was like 20. How do you effing grow when you're 20? He might even be 21. Who grows? And they're 20.
It's unbelievable.
Did we... We went to college together. Did anybody think, do you remember Kurt Sanger coming back? But, oh my God, Kurt's up to 6'2.5. What happened?
It did not happen.
Never happened.
That didn't happen to Kurt.
No.
There might have been somebody else, but not poor Kurt Sanger. I like the Indiana Pacers for 38 Ooh. Wins at 24 losses.
Ooh. All righty. I really like this pay. I really like this Pacers team. Probably irrationally so. It's
we
a bunch of competitive
dudes. We should go see a Pacers
dudes.
Game. Let's go
I'm
see
going.
Some Well, you have your tickets. I want to see the Pacers.
No, I
too.
Want to go see them in Indiana.
Yeah, that's
it's a great.
I mean.
It's the perfect team for Indiana. Hardworking, overachieving. Even who's the guy they just traded for? Oh, Amundsen.
Amundsen.
Perfect Pacer.
Right.
Another
right
overachiever.
Out of the mold. Right
Runs
out of
around.
The mold.
He'll make
he
some energy
does.
Plays. Everybody in that team's an energy guy. I have one lazy guy on that team.
The other thing about not just the energy part, good basketball IQ on this team. A lot of guys
good basketball
minds.
Roy Hibbert in a contract year. I love the David West signing. I thought that was one of the sneaky great signings. Everybody forgets how good that guy
What's
was.
What's the indication around how healthy he is? What's
well,
the talk?
It's a 2-year injury, but yes. he'll still be. Even if he's playing 25 minutes a game, that's a great guy for them.
Can he be an 11-8 guy in those 25 minutes?
I think he'd be like a 13 or 14 with 7 boards.
It's pretty good.
And then Hansborough basically gives you the same stats.
It's just terrific.
I like that team.
Very complimentary.
And they could play defense. And supposedly George Hill's looked good for them in camp. They got 2 point guards.
Plus, I like the vote of confidence. The vote of confidence they gave that coach who deserved it.
Yeah. And they have cap space.
Yeah, that's right.
So
there's still a move here.
When the guys come over... They could potentially,
Ooh.
Little Kenny Martin, maybe? No, they wouldn't go near him. He doesn't fit into what they do.
No.
Wilson Chandler?
Wilson Chandler kind of does. Kind of does fit
How
into what
J.R.
they do.
J.R. Smith? You could have one wild card on your team.
I don't know.
On your team of overachievers.
That puts a lot of pressure. That would mean Larry Bird would have to fly to China and put his arm around J.R. Smith's shoulders and say, look, J.R., I'm going to bring you over here now. Don't make me regret it.
That team has handled everything so smart that I know they're going to do something dumb like trade Danny Granger for Andrew Bynum. Something bad. I picked them for 39 wins.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
That makes me feel, you know.
Yeah. I have them at 39 and 27, and I think they get a 4 seed.
39. Did I mess this up?
What did you have, Matt?
38 wins.
What's you have 38 and 28.
28. Yeah.
You
I
just
messed
can't
that
add.
Up. That's right. I
can't. Yeah, that's a feel good. And this is what really makes me mad about that we don't have over-unders this year. Because there's a couple teams that we would have won on.
I know.
Indiana's one. I think Minnesota
outrage.
We would have won on.
Memphis.
We'll get to them later.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Well, Memphis now I'm worried because I don't have any depth. I think I would have stayed away from them after the Arthur injury. Because now it's like
they still have
Gasol or
they have a move available
gets
to them
injured. I was thinking about it. What if Daryl, if he had pulled off the Pau Gasol trade... And then he just overpaid Marc Gasol, gave him $74 million. Memphis offered him $58. Daryl says, you know what, I'm going to pay $16 million more than that. I know I'm overpaying, but that's the only way I'll get him. Now he's got the Gasol brothers.
Wow.
Now he goes, he tries to get Jose Calderon.
Oh, no!
Now he tries to get Juan Luis Navarro back, whatever that guy's name is.
Oh, no!
Now he just starts getting the Spanish guys.
So he's going to...
He goes after Rudy Fernandez.
And?
No, the ship sailed. I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought...
He goes after Rudy Fernandez.
I thought you were
just starts grabbing the Spanish guys.
I thought we were getting to the point where you're going to give us a nice long Rubio. I thought you were going to... That's where we were headed with the whole thing.
Nah, Rubio, they can't trade Rubio. We're going to get to that.
They can't trade. The untradeable Ricky Rubio.
Untouchable.
The untouchable
not after the exhibition
Ricky
game.
Rubio. All right.
All right, I'm up with Miami.
You are.
And... You know what? I think they're going to tie Chicago. It's such a cop-out, and it'll come down to some bogus tiebreaker. I have them at 48 wins.
It's understandable. I had them, and it's not really going out on a limb, the team with the best record in the whole NBA this year, the Miami Heat, 49-17. That's my pick.
That's fair. Here's my thinking from Miami's side. I thought LeBron... really wore down in the finals last year. Maybe some of it was mental, some of it was physical. They played him too many minutes. He played way too many minutes in the playoffs. And they're going to look at the schedule, and they're just not going to... They're not going to be using the whip, put it that way. You know, the horse has a long race. You don't want to be using the whip in the first furlough. All right, that's the best I can do with my horse racing analogy. But with the between the schedule, lack of depth for them. Wade, do we trust Wade gets through this season? Wade just played 100 games last year and was brittle to begin with a little bit.
I actually was super impressed by how well he performed. He really held up all the way through the finals. He didn't wear down.
He did not.
He wasn't showing any wear.
But he had the mileage of that whole thing, though.
Yeah, I actually think that he will make it fine through this season. I think they're going to do the right thing minutes-wise with both of them.
Where do you? Yeah, but that means they'll have to sacrifice some games.
I don't really feel that. I think that whatever they might sacrifice in the way of minutes is going to be compensated for by how comfortable they are now as a team. And I actually think where the biggest uptick is going to come from Chris Bosh. When you and I sat down and did this maybe a year ago, whenever we did it. There was, I think you forecasted Chris Bosh as a kind of a sneaky fantasy player.
Oh, and it was the total opposite.
It turned out
couldn't
the opposite,
right.
But it could be this year. You could have been off by a year. I still think that theory makes some sense, that he's the beneficiary of a lot of dishes and a lot of space on the floor that comes from what Wade and LBJ do. And now they've played 100 games together, right? They got the reps. So now all of that sort of comfort translates into something that I think compensates for the fact that it makes sense for them to play reduced minutes.
I don't see them having the same luck that they had last year.
What do you mean by luck?
I think they might have gotten a full slate out of Bosh, LeBron, and Wade. Like, not one injury between those three guys. If they had an injury, it was a minor.
LeBron was out for a little bit. Didn't he have the ankle?
I mean, those guys were healthy that whole season. It's going to be too hard to keep doing that.
They were mostly healthy.
They were healthy the whole year. Healthy all through the playoffs, playing huge minutes. I'm just not seeing it. Somebody will get hurt for like 12 games, and that they can totally mess you up.
The other thing that I think supports keeping them at a high number, getting Udonis Haslem, it's like they acquired a free agent.
Yep,
I mean,
fair.
It's like they acquired.
And we both agree Battier isn't the same guy anymore.
Yeah, but so what?
I mean, he's still good.
Yeah.
If he's your seventh man, it's awesome.
He's definitely putting stuff on the table.
Yeah.
It's not a neutral table proposition.
And were you the one who said how he's also an adult?
I don't know if I said it.
Somebody said that to me, how he's an adult. It's nice to have an adult in the locker room.
Sure.
Somebody handle the press, somebody could be like, hey, guys, settle down.
That's right.
It's only game 20 here. Let's not get deer in the headlights. Hey, Chris, stop crying. Stop crying. The media's coming. So whether 48 or 49, we both think they're a 60-win team with a conventional schedule. And actually, if this was a conventional 82-game schedule with a training camp and all that, I probably would have picked them for like 66, 67 wins.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone that high, but I mean 63 or 64 would have felt comfortable. We did it last year, and we lost the bet.
I just don't think they're going to get the same health. I also – we'll make our title picks at the very end of the part two of this podcast, but I just think it's their title to lose. I really do.
I know that you've said that a lot of times in a lot of ways that made it seem like it could be an effort at a reverse jinx, but I happen to think that you're right.
They'll get one of the China guys. I think they'll get Kenyon Martin.
They're over the cap. How can they get him?
Minimum.
You have to sign for the minimum.
Minimum salary,
okay,
yeah.
So he's going to be prepared to sign for the minimum.
They'll get somebody good. March, so they get a buyout.
It's not crazy.
Antoine Jameson. They'll get somebody. You know they're getting somebody.
The somebody could be Gilbert Arenas.
I wouldn't do that. That's too risky for
them. What, for them?
Yeah,
at the minimum?
Too risky.
I don't know.
They need a point guard.
My big
issue with them and my fear if I was a Miami fan is that one of the biggest reasons they lost the title last year was because of that Chalmers-Bibby Eddie House spot.
Why weren't they in the discussions for Baron Davis?
They didn't have a choice. He wanted to go to the Knicks. That was done 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I was told 2 weeks ago that he was going to be a Knick. And I was like, how's that possible? They haven't bought him out yet, and he hasn't gone through the amnesty process yet. And he was like, no, he's going to be a Knick. I was like, all right.
Okay.
He became a Knick. So I think that was a done deal. Let's go to the New Jersey Nets.
I think we're on Milwaukee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are on Milwaukee.
Poor Milwaukee. They even get skipped in this.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Bucks.
And you or I?
You're up.
I caught myself looking at this, and for the second straight year, I know that I'm going to overbid on them because I thought they were going to continue the momentum from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I have them at exactly 33-33.
Oh, I had them at 32-34.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It's a professional basketball
team. There are
a
bunch of guys. I look up and down the list, and it all comes down to bogus health again. But if he's healthy, that's a pretty...
He fixed his elbow.
I hope. permanently. I never want to see anything.
You know,
like that
I
again.
Really, I was watching them the exhibition game they played in Minnesota, and I thought Mike Dunleavy was a good signing for him.
I think it's a fine signing. Yeah, that's right.
Because they have him and Delfino and Steven Jackson. And like, Captain, they have players.
If Captain Jack is motivated, now I've heard
how many
little,
times can
grumblings.
He ask for a new contract? Just sign a new contract that nobody liked. I want to be Steven Jackson. I want to sign contracts and then a year later just demand another one.
Well, he has, though, bailed out a lot of teams over a lot of years. Yeah. He's got a pretty good track record, even for the rep of being a little bit of an outlier. He still brings the
real issue for them is whether Brandon Jennings is good or not.
That is the
and now it's year three.
So how about the very reasonable hedge with Udrey, who is serviceable, yeah. not right. great, but that's a good hedge. I think
that was a good trade.
I think that
they gave up a pretty prime draft pick though, but it was a bad draft, so they might have been. The only thing that would have worried me if I'm a Bucks fan is that trade was kind of one of those trades you make if. If it doesn't work out, you're going to get fired. Yep. But if you didn't make the trade, you're probably going to get fired in a year anyway.
Well, this is it for Skiles anyway, isn't it?
Well, Skiles and John Hammond.
Yeah.
Because he's built this mediocre team. And he tried to do the same thing Indiana did, but I don't think he built the same talent.
Well, 33 and 33 is a 7 or 8 slot, isn't it?
I have him missing the playoffs by a game.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get to that. So you have 33, I have 32.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
Now we're ready for New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Such a tough one. I'm of the opinion that the Dwight... I'm rolling the dice. This is what makes closest to the pin fun.
Yeah.
I'm rolling the dice. I don't think they get Dwight Howard till this summer.
Okay.
And I have them at 19 and 47.
Yeah. So... That number is the number that makes sense if there's no possibility of him
right,
arriving.
Right, they never get Dwight Howard.
And I had a hedge that's in the 20s.
Well, listen, I don't care what your hedge was. I just want your answer.
I'm going to say 20 and 46.
Oh, you're such a dick.
Yeah, well, that's the game, brother. We're playing the game.
You're
We're playing
dick.
The game. That's my hedge.
Yeah, but I'm going to win the closest when we add up the total number of wins we were away from. I'm going to win that bet.
Congratulations.
20.
Very proud of you.
What a dick.
I don't know how to pick it because if Dwight Howard goes to them midseason, and they might rip off a bunch of wins.
Nobody explained to me why they amnestied Travis Outlaw. I thought that was bizarre. They're $39 million. They have a $39 million payroll right now.
Has Travis Outlaw and Sam Hurd been hanging out again? Is that what's going on here?
Well, and why won't anyone sign Chris Humphries? I joked about how I thought how one of the owners, every owner, their wife or daughter watches that show, and he's such a jerk on that show. Nobody would have signed him, but he was probably the best minute per game rebounder last year. It's not like he's not good at basketball. He definitely is.
I think I read something that suggested that New Jersey was about to re-sign him. But actually, I don't know why my Washington professional basketball team doesn't step in there.
You have the cap space.
We have the cap space. He's young. He's a big body.
Yeah.
He's a demonstrated hustler. Yeah. He seems to have a basketball IQ. The little bit that I've watched of him that exceeds, you know, present company, present talent. Why not take a spin on him? He's not expensive.
I'm not 100% on this, but I do think Memphis has their full mid-level.
Oh, my God.
And they were able to steal Chris Humphries for, like, 1 year with an option or something. Like,
that would be tremendous.
I don't think something's weird with that. I feel like we're not getting the whole story there. So, so Dwight Howard has ruined that New Jersey pick. Hey, the New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks.
You're up.
I like...
Whatever you do, I'm going to dick you over.
I don't know what that means.
Whatever you do, I'm going to make it so that you're going to get payback for that New Jersey one.
You might dramatically disagree with what I'm about to propose. I like this New York Knicks team at 42 and 20.
Oh.
I mean 42 and 20, 24. Yeah.
That's really interesting because I had them at 43 and 23. I really did.
That doesn't feel like a dick.
No, I really did have them.
You can stick it with 43 and 23.
That's what I had them at. I had them as a three seed.
The only thing that I don't, you know, you can't get too excited about is they got to ride in with Bibby and Tony Douglas at point guard for the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season.
Until B. Diddy gets to an acceptable weight.
So that's the hedge. That's why they're not at 46
Supposedly,
or 47.
Baron Davis has to lose so much weight that People magazine is going to put him on the cover with one of those things where you hold your jeans out. I lost 50 pounds.
Is Donovan McNabb going to be holding up the other side of those jeans?
Him and Vince Carter. I really had to grow a beard to cover up how fat they are. That's my new obsession in 2011.
The neck beard?
The people that grow the beards to cover up how fat they are. When they're professional athletes, who their only job is state shape. I thought the Baron Davis move was brilliant. And I think Billups and Baron Davis were so freaking underrated as signings. Billups is going to play crunch time for the Clippers. Baron Davis, if he's good, the Knicks can get to the Eastern Conference Finals if he comes through. I mean, they really can.
That's a fact. That's absolutely. A fact. Absolutely.
Baron Davis, I've been saying, I think I've even written this in my archives. If he got to the right team like the Knicks, his career will take off again because he feeds off the crowd. That's what he does. He feeds off fans.
He's a genuine enigma because
he's not, though. But the thing is, he's not an enigma.
He is because
it's
a player
enigma
with
his
talent.
Well, true.
You would think would be kind of self-motivated, but he really does sort of ebb and flow depending on his
situation.
It's
all in the crowd. It's really like even last year, he's in Cleveland. He's overweight. He just got traded from the Clippers. Miami comes to town, and he plays out of his mind, and they win.
He did. That's
he used to do it. He killed the Celtics when the Celtics would play the Clippers. Anytime a good team came to the Clippers, he'd play well. And you put him in MSG with that crowd, I think crowd is going to adopt him.
It's true.
They did it with Sprewell.
They did it with Amari.
They did it with John Starks. No, but they adopt troubled people.
I hear troubled. Yeah,
John Starks, Sprewell.
Amari was a little troubled.
Well, but he's a sure thing, though. Yeah. You know he's good. Yeah. Baron, I think they're going to take under. And conversely, if he's fat and they'll turn on him and they'll kill him. He doesn't have a choice now. He has to be good. I think he's going to be.
Well, so let's both root for good health because that's a good. It would be really interesting for the Knicks.
I want the Knicks to be good.
Me too.
As long as the Celtics can beat him in the playoffs. So I think the league's more interesting when the Knicks are good. And the other thing is, I think because D'Antoni's his job is in danger, obviously.
Sure.
He is not going to be resting the starters as the season goes along. I skewed high with my win total for them because I think he's going to run them in the ground a little bit, and that actually might be stupid. Amari might get hurt.
All they can do is sign somebody to the minimum, right? Vets minimum. That's all they
have. They have a $2.5 million exception, supposedly.
So who fits that description?
Well, they could get Kenny Martin for a year. Or Wilson Chandler.
Wow. Chandler, that's too little. Other teams are going to pay.
Aaron Brooks?
That seems way too little for Aaron Brooks. Wasn't he making a whole bunch of money?
I don't know. He's coming in March after he gets freed by Jack Bauer.
That would be unfair. If they got Aaron Brooks.
Joe would be like that one.
He liked Jack Bauer getting freed. I thought J.R. Smith would free Jack Bauer.
I don't think China's going to let J.R. Smith go. I think they just hold him.
I bet he gets out. I bet he figures out a way to get
he's
out.
He's going to escape.
He is going to escape.
Be on a boat. So, yeah, I think that Knicks team's going to be good. And I really hope Baron. I do. I know I made fun of him all the time on Twitter and in my column, but it really was out of love. It's like I just think that guy's so talented, and I really hope he taps into it one more time because it was so much fun in 07 on that Warriors team when he went to that. When he went to that cool place.
Yes.
I want to see it again.
Okay,
that's all I want.
I'm right.
Nash told
you.
Me once that Baron Davis was the single toughest person he ever had to defend.
It's totally believable. He's so strong.
He just couldn't. He just would look at him on the schedule and be like, "Oh shit, Baron Davis on the schedule tonight."
Yeah.
And it's just, I hope that guy's not done. I think if you're a Knicks fan, now you basically turn Billups into Tyson Chandler and Baron Davis, and you might get something out of Baron Davis. That's a great trade.
It's a great trade.
You lost your get out of jail free card with Amari, but. They're all in anyway.
It's the price.
They moved
That's
all
it.
Their poker chips anyway.
It's an all-in move.
All right.
Tyson was the all-in move.
I'm excited
move,
to see the Knicks this year. I'm excited to go to their games. I want to go see them in MSG, all that stuff. Orlando, let's do quickly because it's just like, who the hell knows?
Yeah.
It's
Orlando.
I'm up.
You're up.
I picked them for 39 wins. 39 okay. and 27.
Yeah, I had them at 36 and 30.
Okay. You keeping that?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it. And that's, just because of the uncertainty and that sort of cloud that hangs over. Mm-hmm. And what happened, we watched Denver. Half Denver season was compromised because of the Melo thing. Then they took off as soon as he got gone.
Right, but their record was still good with him. My thinking was with Howard. So 40 and 26 translates to 49 wins in a 6-6 game schedule.
Yeah.
I just think it's impossible for him to win less than like 46 games.
It's totally reasonable.
Because he's just too much. He's too much better than, in a regular season standpoint, than any other center. He always makes you competitive. He's a one-man defensive show, all that stuff. All the reasons why the stat guys say that he should win the MVP every year, they're actually legitimate reasons, because he makes you, by himself, he makes you a 40-win team.
Yeah, I understand. I don't like their forwards. I don't like their small forwards or the or big baby. I just don't like...
J.J. Redick from Mo Williams, who says no?
Orlando should say no, I think.
Because he's more a little more expensive.
Well, because that skill. It's just that... Well, I don't know. It's
Would you like to have Mo Williams out there in crunch time?
Actually, Orlando might not say no.
Would you want to have a crunch time of Jameer Nelson...
Mo Williams.
Jason Richardson, Mo Williams, Heydu, and or Ryan Anderson and Dwight Howard. You just go small with Dwight Howard.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I would do the J.J. Redick for Mo Williams. Yeah, I think it's good.
Would you do it as a Clipper?
Clipper fan, absolutely do it. Absolutely. You don't even think twice. You do that trade.
They do that, then I'm going to feel bad about my 36.
Philadelphia, you're up for Philadelphia.
I like the Philadelphia 76ers. Mike Lombardi is Philadelphia 76ers at 34-32.
Ooh. Interesting. I have written down on my sheet 33-33. I'm exactly 500.
That's a good number. Yeah. I mean, you know.
It's funny how close we came on a lot of these.
Yeah.
I don't really know. They didn't. I like that they re-signed Thaddeus. I thought they had to do that.
Smart.
I thought it was smart not to end this deal on Brand. I don't know why they would have done that.
I think they're about eight players deep, and the eight players deep, pretty good skill level too. That should be enough for you know, something over 500.
For me, the question, the guy who swings them is Evan Turner, and whether he's good or not.
They kind of got spelled. They got a surprising contribution from Meeks last year, though. He turned out to be kind of instant offense.
They need Evan Turner to be the.
Need Evan Turner to be the number two.
Because then now you can trade Iguodala.
Yeah.
And
no, I mean,
you can get pieces for Iguodala and the whole thing.
Franchise-wise, the upward trajectory that they want to be on, they need Evan Turner to be Evan Turner. But I mean, for this, the purposes of this season and the sprint that they're in and everything, they didn't. You know, Dougie brought the Dougie. He always
does.
Well,
that's my question with that. So when does Dougie flame out, this year and next year? Probably gets one more year.
I bet this year he's probably kind of well positioned. It's exactly this season for them to buy into him.
One of these, either Atlanta, Philly, or Milwaukee will win like four more games than we think they're going to. Just because you get to play all these other crappy teams.
Yes.
Last two Eastern Conference teams here. We got the Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
I am up.
You are.
And, you know, it's weird. They said before the season, they basically said they're tanking this season. The Brant Colangelo press conference, like, yeah, we're rebuilding. Like, he made no illusions. Like, we're not making the playoffs this year. We're rebuilding. They got that, the Lithuanian kid who's going to be a year.
Right.
Valanciunas, whatever his name is.
Yes.
They'll have a high draft pick this year. They'll have cap space. They're gearing toward making a big play next year. They're owned by Rogers Entertainment, who's ready to make a big splash, blah, blah, blah. I do think they're deep.
They are deep.
They're deep with a lot of, like, mediocre guys, but I think that's going to get them some schedule wins.
Okay.
Normally, I would have said, like, 20-62 for them.
Yep.
But I'm going to bump them up because of the schedule wins. I have them at 18 wins, 18 and 48.
That's great. I'm so excited. I don't have to touch it. I have them at exactly 17 and 49.
There you go.
There we go.
All
Wonderful.
Right. Another one where we went away from each other.
That's so good.
I also can't wait to give, if the Toronto is coming to town to play the Clippers, I can't wait to give that to my daughter's school's charity.
They will gladly take that and have a hard time moving it.
The charity auction teams this year are Toronto, Cleveland, and Charlotte. The three teams that I don't care if I see.
Does anybody care?
Nobody cares. Not anybody.
I could make an argument for New Orleans to be in there as well, but whatever.
Your last team. Ironic. Yeah, you get the first pick here.
It's not ironic at all.
Les Boulets.
I believe.
Chocolate City.
That this version of the Washington professional basketball team is the worst in the league. For the first time in a handful of years. I think...
Oh.
I mean, I think this...
So you're the full-fledged laughingstock.
Not laughingstock. It's part of a plan. I actually think there's a point of view here that's worth worth pursuing.
And that's why they didn't amnesty Rashard Lewis.
Yes, exactly.
Because they might have to amnesty Andre Blatch.
No, they don't need to amnesty Andre Blatch.
No, a year from now, what if he's a cancer?
What if it's not a what if. He's appropriately priced is the thing. Yeah. They can just sort of wait him out.
I wanted the Celtics to get him. I think he's salvageable.
It won't be in Washington.
It won't
I
be
know
in Washington.
That. It is not going to be in Washington.
He's probably not salvageable.
I have Cleveland at 15 and 51.
Yes, you
so
do.
So I'm going to have the Washington professional basketball team at 14
Ooh.
And 52.
14. You know what? I'm going closest. I had him at 18, but I'm going to downgrade that. I'm going to go 15. Just try to beat you.
Yeah, I saw Vesely. I hate to make a snap judgment, you know, after seeing a guy run around the court. But the brother looked lost. I mean, he looked like, the guy on the pickup court who's the big tall guy, looks like he could be really athletic, and you get out and start running around with him a little bit and run up and down the floor two times with him. He's lost. You can't pass him the ball.
And he's, doesn't know what has he's no doing. Muscle, right?
Not an impressive physique. He was, you know what he was not doing during this lockout? He was not hitting the weight room.
So I have them at 15 and 51, which would translate to a 19-win NBA season.
That seems
fair.
Isn't that right down the middle?
And they have no reason to try. Here would be my one thing that would make me think maybe they won't be that bad.
Okay.
If John Wall is awesome this year. And I do think he is the number one breakout candidate for this season.
I love the idea of John Wall as the breakout candidate, and I do think he's going to be awesome, but I believe that he is going to be limited. He has a ceiling with this cast of characters around him. He's only going to be so good. He's going to play well enough to average 12 assists a game.
Right.
You know, the positions he puts guys in, the speed he plays at. He just doesn't have the surrounding complementary pieces to get to 12, so he's going to average 9 assists a game because 3 of his assists are going to be like the very first play of the first preseason game this year where Jordan Crawford's running open along the baseline and the ball flies over his head because he's not looking as he approaches the basket from the baseline.
Hmm.
And I think that's kind of the foreboding note for the season.
You sure you shouldn't have amnestied Rashard Lewis, given Aaron Aflalo $45 million for 4 years, let Nick Young go?
It's not too late.
Then gotten Chris Humphreys for 2 years, $18
million? I don't think they need to
amnesty. Why wouldn't you have done that?
I think they still have cap room to make a serious run at Aflalo.
Why not go for Aflalo and Chris Humphreys? Why not be better right away? What are you waiting for?
Next year's draft is deep.
Good. You'll still be bad anyway, but you'll have a whole nucleus.
I think that it's credible. To sit tight and see what develops.
But why? You might be able to get Chris Humphreys for 2 years, $18 million.
Is he a $9 million a year guy, Chris Humphreys?
He was fifth in the league in rebounding last year. You get him for short money, then you can get out of it. 2 years, $14 million, whatever.
It's not too late. They could still do it. They can't amnesty Lewis. It's too late for that. But
it's
I still
too late
have,
for this year. No,
yeah,
I was saying,
year.
Like, I think they should amnesty Lewis.
The sky's the limit with Washington and what kind of options
that's
they possess.
That's a little strong.
With the options they possess.
You're too
optimistic.
They're
rebuilding. They're rebuilding.
All right. So the important thing that you've learned so far is that Jan Vesely will not contribute in a very meaningful way to the Wizards this year.
It is my strong desire and hope that the entirety of Jan Vesely's NBA career does not come down to the kiss that he laid on his girlfriend at the draft. That's the high point of his career.
So, to recap, we have Chicago-Miami as the top two seeds. I have Chicago-Miami in a tie. You have Miami over Chicago. We both have the Knicks third. We have
Indiana.
Indiana fourth.
Yeah.
Orlando and Boston fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta and Philly as the other two playoff teams.
Oh, you're right. So I thought Milwaukee might crack it.
So Milwaukee on the outside looking in.
At 500.
Yeah.
Or so.
And our biggest difference, Detroit. 29 wins for me, 23 for you. Unbelievable.
I stand by it. That's a Larry Frank bet.
We were 4 wins apart on Cleveland. We were 2 wins apart on Indiana. And then everything else, we're within like a win or two of each other.
Yeah.
The Knicks, 3 seed.
What's so surprising about that?
No, it's just...
Tyson Chandler...
Here's the problem with making all these picks. The Knicks, Celtics, Orlando getting trading Dwight Howard, Miami, Wade or LeBron. Like, if you lose somebody for 15 games, it's like cataclysmic with this thing.
Yes.
It's the difference between being a 4 seed and an 8 seed, potentially, or a 1 seed and a 5 seed. If you lose the wrong guy for 2 months.
Everybody recognizes that. We're going on record now.
I know.
And we're just doing the best we can.
So that was part one of the Closest to the Pin podcast, which tragically replaced the Over-Under podcast.
Not tragic. What's tragic about
it? I miss the Over-Unders. It was really fun to see a couple Over-Unders and go crazy about
it. We'll do it next year. It's going to be fun.
Stay tuned for part two of the BS Report, Closest to the Pin podcast. We're doing the Western Conference, and we're making title picks with my pal, Joe House. Check that out on iTunes.com, ESPN.com's Pod Center, or Grantland.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.